This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Good morning and welcome to Community Connection. We are glad to kick off a new week with you and we are happy that you've joined us. I hope you had a great weekend. Of course, the weather is still fluctuating as always, so don't plant anything yet unless you're planting it indoors. That's my little piece of advice, even though I really don't know a lot about it. I just know a tad. Today we have with us Eric Sisney, and he is with Two Roads. Him and I know each other from years back when he was involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I was the area director for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So we spent some time together, just working and trying to help kids be better, navigate life, know Jesus, and we just kept moving it through, Eric. And So I appreciate you. I appreciate the time that you put in. And now as a teacher and a coach, and now you are doing a different part. So I'll quit talking and let you introduce yourself to others and tell us more about you.
My name is Eric Sisney, and I'm a licensed professional counselor, and stepped away from teaching in 2017 due to a lot of just kids not liking counseling, not liking to go talk to people. Their main objection was counselors only ever want to know what's wrong with me. They didn't want to know who I am. So I took a lot of the stuff that I learned from them, and I brought it here, hoping that I could be that person that they would come to, or ideally change the system and all that stuff. Love what I do, love working with the people that I work with, and just looking forward to how God's going to continue to use me in this arena.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, thinking about when you were growing up, what profession did you see yourself working in?
Well, I knew about my sophomore year of high school that I wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to teach history because history is and still, it was and still is like a subject that I just get. It just came naturally to me. And I also knew that I wanted to coach. I wanted to coach basketball. I still really love basketball and things like that. And I even talked with, I've been married for almost 19 years, and when my wife and I were dating, I talked about that. I'm like, hey, I want to coach basketball at a college level. And I spent a lot of time between my sophomore year in high school all the way up through my first couple of years of teaching, just like really getting into coaching and everything else. But that all changed in 2006. And I still love basketball. I still love to shoot baskets and do that with kids, but I didn't want to coach anymore. So that's kind of what led me to this path of getting into counseling.
Mm-hmm. So when did you get your LCPC?
I started my master's in 2020, I started my internship in 2020, finished it in December of 2020, and then got my LPC about a year later. So I've had it for a little while, a couple years, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. I know that's not easy. My husband's actually done that, and we used to own a counseling business in Danville. And he, I would see him studying and trying to gear things up. And, he loved the counseling part, too, because he felt like he could really make a difference. And, sometimes I think as a society, when we look at people with issues, it can be easy to toss them away. But if we don't help them and if we don't fix them, they become a burden, not only more so to themselves, but also to the greater community. So, counseling can be a very good thing. And I think that people can, not really quite understand. I had a family member once who everything that happened in their family was completely private. You were not to talk about it. You were not to complain about it. You were not to tell others about it. And, that just wasn't a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I think I spend time with people explaining the difference between being weak and being vulnerable. Weak is stuffing it down. It's ignoring your responsibilities. It's, sitting on a couch and watching TV instead of helping take care of the kids or doing what it is that you need to be doing. Being vulnerable, really, especially for adult men, is just being able to go someplace and say to a trusted friend, or maybe it's the pastor at your church, or even coming to therapy, whatever that looks like, and just saying, I'm having a rough time. And I can't be what I need to be for the people that need me to be that. So I need to do something right now to kind of process through some things and work through that so that I can be what it is I have to be for my family, for my church, for my organization, whatever that looks like. But it is. We grew up, I grew up in the 90s and we didn't really talk about that stuff. And so just trying to get people to understand that it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to be vulnerable and to work through some of the tougher issues so that you can be better for the people that you need to be there for.
Mm-hmm. And Eric, I think that you hit on something. I do think probably men are the toughest population because, you know, society has taught them to be macho, to be tough, to suck it up.
Yeah. And that, I think that's part of it. And a lot of what I hear is men aren't willing to talk because it's weaponized against them. That somewhere down the road that when they've been vulnerable with somebody, then that comes back up. And that's going to cause anybody to shut down and to not want to talk about the things anymore. And I also think there's the stigma, especially around therapy, that if you're going to go talk about your stuff, then you're going to be in this tiny room that's dimly lit and you got to talk about your feelings for an hour. Whereas that's not what therapy is all the time. Like just yesterday, I was outside the big grassy area just outside the office, and I was outside throwing a baseball with a kid. It's the second week in a row. They'll come into my office, we'll talk about stuff, and then we go outside and throw a baseball. You know, we can go walk around. We have a grill that my bosses have said I could use. I haven't tried that yet, but you know, therapy is much more about getting people to feel comfortable so that they feel like they can trust you and talk about what they've got going on. And part of that means incorporating what it is they like to do into the session. So if they want to get out and they'll walk around, if they want to even just walk around the office or stand while you talk, whatever that is, I tried to make those accommodations for whoever's in my office.
Yep, definitely. Well, let's take our first break and we will be right back. Welcome back to Community Connection. Today we are speaking with Eric Sisney. He is with Two Roads. And Eric, you all have moved, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been, we moved almost a year ago. We moved from our winter location up to the old Christie Clinic building just across from Monocles into a big new building where we can offer all the services that we offer in one location. So it's been nice.
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, you know, one of the things, and especially since you used to be a high school teacher, so, you know, what's up with our kids? And I was watching something last night and just this fighting and social media, you know, posting things. And I'm like, what have we come to?
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of layers to that question, because part of when you look at what's going on with the youth today, you can tie to social media and some of the societal pressures, but you can also tie it to their families and their family structure. And it's not, a lot of those kids are just living out of what they know. And if that's the environment they're growing up in, if that's the environment they're dealing with, then that's what they're going to mimic. That's one of the biggest responsibilities as a parent, is that your kid learns about life from you. And what makes it so hard for kids that grow up in an abusive household, if they don't want to be an abuser, that's the only example that they have of how to treat someone else. And so I think a lot of it, or at least some of it, has to go back to what our home lives like for these kids. And they're just acting out. I mean, you can't expect a 12-year-old to be able to regulate their emotions when they're not seeing that at home. You know, they have all these questions. A lot of times, especially with younger kids, they don't even know what that feeling is that they're feeling. They just know that it's uncomfortable and it needs to come out somehow. And I think social media ties into that a lot too. What they're seeing, like some challenges that go around on social media, is about destroying school property or slapping teachers or whatever that is. Makes it hard for a kid. If a kid wants to fit in, then they're, you know, because they're not feeling that at home, they're not accepted at home or whatever that looks like, they're going to act out in a way that gets that attention. And it's so important, especially when kids are younger, for them to feel that healthy attachment and connection to someone. And if they don't feel that, they seek it out other places and in other ways. And a lot of times that any kind of attention, even negative attention, is good enough for them. And so it is a mess. There's a lot of stuff going on in schools and everything like that, especially with younger kids. And especially with all kids, because the older they get, the harder it is to really get them to open up because they've spent the first 12 years of their life not trusting people. How are you going to get a 13 to 18 year old to trust people? And that takes a lot of work. But it's always encouraging, and I tell people this a lot. I call it Uno and Oreos. If you can spend 30 minutes with a kid a week playing Uno, playing some sort of game, taking a snack, whatever it is, just really invested in that kid, really invested in how that kid is doing, that kid does better across all measures, social, in school, academic behavior, whatever it is, they do better 30 minutes a week. And so I encourage people on your lunch break, if you've got time, team up with the school. It may involve some work. You may have to get background checked and it may take a little while because schools obviously have to protect the kids that are in their building. But if you can get into a school and mentor a kid that's struggling, it's going to change their life and it's going to change yours too.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, back in the day, I was the director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters. This was before FCA, and we had a school mentoring program. And you know, that's exactly what you would see. And the student would really look forward to you coming in, and you know, the teachers would comment about their behavior or what they were seeing. And you know, it really was a great match. It's too bad we don't have that going right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of organizations like that are hurting, just like most organizations, for volunteers, for people to help. And we live such busy lives that things like that aren't always at the forefront. But if there is a way to get people involved, even if it's just one person at a time, to get involved in a kid's life, and it starts with your kids, obviously, being invested in their lives. And then if you have the time or capacity, you know, there's a lot of empty nesters in their 50s and 60s that are still in pretty good health that would make it a fantastic mentor for some kid, because what I found both in my experience and just talking with other people, that it doesn't matter the age of the person, the age of the adult, if they're invested in a kid and they're genuinely wanting this kid and to know what interests this kid and what they like to do and stuff like that, the kid will latch on and will do better, which is just, it's so fun to watch and to see.
Mm-hmm. So Eric, you know, what age do children start counseling? Is it at all different ages depending on the issues or?
Yeah, there are, I know we have some clinicians here who've had clients as young as 4. I've had clients as young as 5, just depending, you know, it's just what the parents are seeing. And if it's, outside of what could be listed as like normal behavior or something like that. Like it's not just that the kid gets angry when they don't get their way. It's like they're angry all the time and we don't know what's going on, you know? So, there's, play therapy. We have, a play therapist here in Danville and we have one at our Covington location. And that's just a lot of what it is with the younger kids. You kind of observe them playing and see what maybe upsets them, see how they interact with you, with maybe a parent or a sibling or something like that. And you just kind of start working on addressing the behavior, because they may not be able to communicate what's going on inside of them, but if they can learn how to react to it, how to respond to it, or at least how to kind of emotionally regulate themselves, or the parents can help them emotionally regulate, at least you can kind of get a better idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Good information. Well, let's go ahead and take our last break, Eric, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Community Connection this morning. We have Eric Sisney with us, and Eric is with Two Roads. He is an LPC and LPC or LCP?
LPC. I'm still waiting on my LCPC, so yeah.
Got it. And so, Eric, you know, again, you've changed careers. You were in being a teacher is definitely a helping field, but now you're in another helping field. What about adults? At what point should they be reaching out?
I always tell people, if you think you need to go to counseling, go to counseling. If there's any question about, and it doesn't have to just be because there's been some really big life event happen, like the loss of a close family member or some other traumatic event or whatever it is. If you're just kind of feeling like you need someone to talk to, or if, I mean, I work with career stuff all the time, like especially with younger adults, it's like that, like just getting them involved and how they can figure out what it is they want to do for the rest of their life. There's no, like, if you feel like you just need somebody else to talk to, then that's a good time to come, because it doesn't have to be long term. You don't have to always come for a year or two or whatever it is. It can just be a few weeks if that's all you need, and then you can just kind of like cut ties and then come back again. It kind of comes more like a doctor visit where you're just getting checkups and stuff like that every once in a while, because things are going well. And so that's really my thing. If you're wondering if you should go, then just call and make an appointment.
Okay, good information. We also have Jessica Gay joining us. And Jessica, you are going to be talking about mind and body connection and integrative medicine. First of all, tell me a little bit about you and what is an FNP?
Family nurse practitioner. So I do, I guess, more like the medical side of things. I mean, when I first started, to me and what they teach us in school is it's just like antidepressant or anxiety medication, prescriptions, those kinds of things. But I mean, since working at Two Roads, I've learned a lot more of the integrative side of things, like lifestyle, sleep, habits, diet, exercise, meditation, therapy, and how like the mental health can really affect your physical health.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's a good point, because I think if you just try to fix one thing and you have those other seven things not being fixed, mm-hmm. it's not a good combo.
Yeah. I read somewhere, I don't remember where, anxiety is, 80% of anxiety is therapy. So medications can help. But usually there's something underlying that can be contributing. Or, you know, if you get like the depression under control and you're still having some anxiety, that's kind of where, you know, if my patient hasn't seen a therapist or talked to anybody, we kind of start to talk about, okay, well, what's going on that, you know, you could still be having some of these symptoms that the medications aren't going to really, you know, fix.
Mm-hmm. So at Two Roads, is the approach more just holistic, I guess?
Yeah, we believe in treating the entire person, mind, body, and spirit. So whether someone comes in and meets with Jessica first, and then they realize there's more going on than connecting with the therapist, or we have massage therapy, we have an infrared sauna, we have IV therapy, injections and things like that. Like we have a whole like just quiver full of arrows about the ways we can treat people and help them wholly, and not just have, you know, typically you've got a psychiatrist one place, your primary someplace else, and a therapist someplace else, and they never talk. If Jesse and I share a client, we'll sit down every once in a while and just discuss how that client's doing, you know, and some of the things that maybe I'm seeing, because I meet with them more often than she does, or some of the things that she's changed or whatever, so that we can take care of that person together, not just on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. I like that. You know, again, I kind of got the cliff notes here. It said the focus is on that mind and body connection, Jessica.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It can also be the other way around too. Like I mentioned, you know, somebody could be coming in for like depression and anxiety, and then also like with talking and stuff, and they get set up with therapy. Maybe it is like some PTSD or something like that. And kind of look at the root of the problem that way. But sometimes, you know, if they come in to see a therapist because they are feeling down, sad, it could also be things like physical pain. So sometimes even the therapist will even refer them to us because there can be this physical pain that could be, you know, contributing or causing the depression. And then, you know, maybe medications to help symptom management. But again, looking at the root of the problem and the whole person. Maybe they do need something like massage therapy for the pain or physical therapy. I mean, even like the infrared sauna that we have here too, that's been shown to help with immune system and inflammation and everything. So there's several different areas to look at when somebody comes in with, you know, their initial complaints. really just looking at the whole picture instead of just the one symptom that, you know, we were like trained to look at.
Okay, good information. So can somebody address confidentiality? Because it seems that, you know, I don't know that sometimes people like are ashamed they're in counseling and they don't want people to know. So address confidentiality.
Well, we tell people that whatever's said here stays here, that we don't contact their work. We don't contact their families. We don't, you know, post it on social media or anything like that, that whatever's talked about stays within the confines of the four walls of that office. It is in the stuff that they sign that, like, I will talk with Jessica and things like that. But outside of that, the only way that confidentiality can get broken is if the person starts talking about harming someone else, harming themselves, suicide, self-harm, abuse, self-abuse, things like that. And then I just reassure people that we don't, in those cases, we have to reach out. We're legally obligated to reach out to someone, but we don't do that to make things worse for them. We want to make sure that they're safe, the people around them are safe, and that they can get the appropriate care that they're going to need. And then we're going to walk with them through that whole process. We're not just going to be like, well, you need this help, see you later. Like, we're going to be here the entire time, either when you come back for follow-ups or whatever else we need to do to help that person through whatever it is they're going through.
Okay, good information. Jessica, any final thoughts before we end the show today?
And no, I was just going to add that just like when you go to like your primary, you know, doctor, everything is HIPAA compliant. We have the HIPAA disclosures that everybody signs where we don't disclose any information that they tell us unless, like Eric said, you know, unless we're obligated to. But yeah, I mean, it is in the agreements, I believe, that we, if it's going to help their care, that they kind of give us permission to coordinate with one another. But outside of that, everything is confidential.
Okay, thank you for that. Eric, any final thoughts as we close today?
Just if you got something going on, if anybody's listening to this and they've got something going on, whether it's, I mean, our nurse practitioners can do primary care. We've got convenient care on Tuesdays and Thursdays. But just really, I've always been a believer. If you feel like you've got something going on, just go talk to somebody, whether it's a trusted friend or if it's a therapist. I don't really care where you go, as long as you're going and talking to somebody and getting to that spot where you can live a healthy, authentic life.
Okay, thank you both for being with us today. Again, we've been speaking with Eric Sisney and Jessica Gay with Two Roads. We will be back tomorrow, and we're actually going to have part two of Two Roads because I'm going to have a couple people on to talk about those therapies, massages, the infrared, all of that. So we'll dig deeper tomorrow. Thank you both, and audience, we'll see you in the morning.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.